Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Monday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. A fine Monday to you and a big Monday we've got here on the D.A. show. How about former Major League Baseball commissioner for more than 20 years, now a member of the Cooperstown Hall of Fame, Bud Selig is scheduled to join us coming up in hour number three. Bud Selig on the DA show this morning. I'm very, very excited to have Bud on the show. First time ever for Bud to be appearing on the DA show in any of its incarnations throughout the decades. And I have ripped through his new book about his time in baseball as owner of the Brewers, about trying to bring a team to Milwaukee, about his commissionership. And I have to admit, while Bud Selig is not the most popular figure, this book is, if you are a baseball or a sports history fan, really phenomenal. Surprisingly so. I thought it would be pretty dry. I thought it would be pretty Selig-y. Instead, it's a phenomenal summer read, especially if you're a baseball history fan. So I'm excited about talking to him about many of the ups and downs of his rocky commissionership and time in baseball. So we'll do that coming up in hour number three. Also, speaking of baseball, one of the great sports stories of 2019 was what happened over the weekend with the Angels throwing a combined no-hitter on the night they honored Tyler Skaggs, their fallen teammate. Their teammate Tyler Skaggs passed away, unknown causes at this moment, in his hotel room. They honored him over the weekend, and on that night, they threw a combined no-hitter. Adam Rank was there of the NFL Network. Adam is a huge Angels fan. He joins us throughout the football season talking NFL, but today I want to ask him what it was like to be in that ballpark that night. What an extraordinary and emotional moment when sports just makes you shake your head and go, is this real? A true Angels in the outfield moment over the weekend in Anaheim. So we'll talk to Adam Rank coming up here in about 2 hours from now. Also, Peyton Manning throwing shade at Tony Romo. The NFL kicking around 18-game schedules. NBA player movement once again continues to turn. And in Green Bay, the Packers had a really bad financial year.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
We will discuss the ramifications of that. All of that coming up this morning on the DA show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or get at me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, if you guys have been following the show closely and listening to the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, you know Saturday was the annual Meraz Block Party. Not only will I give you a recap of the block party this morning, but I will also play for you never before heard audio from the block party. Never before released audio from the block party that I feel is a blockbuster. A block party buster, if you will, audio from the block party. But let's begin with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Because late last week, this news dropped. Russell Westbrook traded to the Houston Rockets for a slew of draft picks and Chris Paul. The Rockets want one last reset for James Harden's prime. They want to try this thing over again. And clearly what happened at the end of the Harden and Chris Paul tenure was it was antagonistic. It was frustrated. It was going sideways. And so time to move along. And in doing this, I think they got better. I think the Rockets got better. I don't really think that that's even debatable because Russell Westbrook at this point in his career is better than Chris Paul at this point in his career. So they upgraded on paper. The problem is, as we all know, sports isn't played on paper. How often have you heard that trite phrase? Any sport is not played on paper, and so it's got to fit together. And in this case, can it fit together? What you have is Russell Westbrook, a ball-dominant guard who's headstrong, temperamental, and has rubbed many a teammate the wrong way. And he now enters a franchise with a ball-dominant player who just had friction and the inability to coexist with his previous point guard in Chris Paul. And amongst everything else, just between the two of them, running the franchise, or at least running the locker room, is Mike D'Antoni, who has publicly been open about not liking confrontation. He wants to go out there and coach his scheme. He wants to encourage his players to take three-pointers. He wants to get an up-and-down offense, but he does not want to manipulate or coach or maneuver around egos. That's not what he does. And that's why I think Harden and Chris Paul got into each other's throats, is because they don't have a head coach that is good at that. And so you add all this together, plus an organization that has hit its head on the ceiling time and time and time again in the postseason, losing to the Warriors. So there is now kind of this baked in insecurity or scar or history of losing when it mattered most. And you have to ask this question. Can Westbrook, can Harden coexist, and can this work with the Rockets? It is where we begin. Your cold open. Chris Paul tenure was, it was antagonistic. It was frustrated. It was going sideways. And so time to move along. And in doing this, I think they got better. I think the Rockets got better. I don't really think that that's even debatable because Russell Westbrook at this point in his career is better than Chris Paul at this point in his career. So they upgraded on paper. The problem is, as we all know, sports isn't played on paper. How often have you heard that trite phrase? Any sport is not played on paper, and so it's got to fit together. And in this case, can it fit together? What you have is Russell Westbrook, a ball-dominant guard who's headstrong, temperamental, and has rubbed many a teammate the wrong way. And he now enters a franchise with a ball-dominant player who just had friction and the inability to coexist with his previous point guard in Chris Paul. And amongst everything else, just between the two of them, running the franchise, or at least running the locker room, is Mike D'Antoni, who has publicly been open about not liking confrontation. He wants to go out there and coach his scheme. He wants to encourage his players to take three-pointers. He wants to get an up-and-down offense, but he does not want to manipulate or coach or maneuver around egos. That's not what he does. And that's why I think Harden and Chris Paul got into each other's throats, is because they don't have a head coach that is good at that. And so you add all of this together, plus an organization that has hit its head on the ceiling time and time and time again in the postseason, losing to the Warriors. So there is now kind of this baked-in insecurity or scar or history of losing when it mattered most. And you have to ask this question. Can Westbrook, can Harden coexist, and can this work with the Rockets? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite players ever to coach. That guy, I like guys that, you know, I'll tell you what, he's going to take three, four really tough shots and bad shots, but he's going to give you great effort every single night.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
And that was Scott Brooks, former Thunder coach, when these two guys played with one another in Oklahoma City. And because Brooks never won a championship is why he got fired over there and they made a replacement. They made a switch. I think here's how it works. It works because Russell Westbrook is going to have far more space on this floor than he had in Oklahoma City, because Houston is filled with three-point shooters and Mike D'Antoni's going to want them to shoot as many threes as possible. And so Russell's going to have more space on that floor than perhaps he's ever had. But how does it work? Who is going to stand down out of Harden and Westbrook? Who is going to stand down and take fewer shots? Who's going to have a lower usage rate? Who is going to be a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands as much? Which one of these dominant personalities and players is going to do that? The answer is, I don't know. I mean, on the surface, you would say Westbrook needs to do that because it's Harden's team. He's going to Harden's team. The Rockets didn't have to lose any players in this trade, and so Westbrook needs to fit into what they've already done and what they've already accomplished. But is Westbrook the type of guy that does that? Is Russ the type of guy that fits in? I don't think so. Look, here's why it works for the Rockets. They had a team that was already, in their mind, championship caliber, and they didn't trade any players off of it to have to get Russell Westbrook besides Chris Paul, and that way they upgraded. I get why they did it. But this is incredibly volatile, incredibly combustible, and it will take these two guys to understand that they can't do what they once did. They can't. Somebody's going to have to adjust. And really, for it to truly work and win a championship, they both have to adjust. What are the odds that they both adjust? What are the odds? Are they both desperate enough players to really commit? And neither one of these guys likes to play defense. So what really is going to be the part that they take away from their own game, push themselves further to make sure the team goes further? This is an enormous test for both of them. And maybe right now they want to do it because neither one has won a championship and they feel like, you know what, we're better together than apart. That would be great. But it will take more than just, oh, remember how great it was in Oklahoma City? It actually takes physically altering your game. Which one of these guys is going to do it, and can both of them do it? Look, if they can coexist, it's a big win for the Rockets. But I'm very skeptical that they can coexist. I mean, the Chris Paul era lasted 2 years before they were at each other's throats. 2 years. Is Russ and Harden going to last for more than 2 years? I kind of feel like that's the over-under. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Baseball had a moment over the weekend. My goodness, was that a moment. In Anaheim, as the Angels honored Tyler Skaggs, who passed away recently, they placed his jersey on the pitcher's mound. An emotional night, Everyone's wearing his jersey number. And they pitch a combined no-hitter. And when you start going through the very eerie similarities and numerology behind that night, on a team called the Angels, no less, you start shaking your head and going, there is higher forces at work here. We'll go through those coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Oh my goodness, DA. One of those days. I need a beam-up, please.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
20 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, full episodes are available on Apple Music, radio.com, iTunes, and other places that podcasts are available. Listen to full episodes of the Dot. Anything that you may have missed or want to hear again, listen to it on your own time, on your own schedule, by downloading the podcast, The DA Show, wherever podcasts are available. And it's an Ask the Pros Day, where you get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on to the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Tyler Skaggs, 27-year-old pitcher for the Angels, passed away on July the 1st in his hotel room, found unresponsive. The Angels were on the road at the time. This was their first home game over the weekend on Friday night. Because of the All-Star break, their first home game since he passed away. And so the Angels honored him by everyone on the team wearing his number 45. Every player on the Angels wore a Tyler Skaggs jersey. Skaggs on the back, number 45 on their back. They placed their jerseys on the pitcher's mound. Number 45 was painted into the pitcher's mound. And on that night, on Tyler Skaggs' night, they end up pitching a combined no-hitter.
Next delivery, it's grounded to Renhefo. Has the ball bounce away, recovers, throws, and the ball game is over. The Angels have no-hit Seattle tonight here at the Big A. 13-0, the final. On a night where the Angels honored Tyler Skaggs, every single Angel player wearing his number and name on the back of their uniforms, a no-hitter tonight against the Mariners. What a scene.
Yeah, we were just talking about it in there. You know, it's scored 7 runs in the first, ended with 13. Tyler's birthday is 7/13. You know, his birthday tomorrow. 13 runs, 13 hits. You know, obviously tomorrow's the 13th, so it's just stuff you can't. You know, like I said, tonight was in honor of him, and you know, he was definitely looking over us tonight, and he's probably, you know, up there, you know, saying we're nasty, and you know, just what an unbelievable game to be a part of.
That was Terry Smith, voice of the Angels on Angels Radio at the call. That was Mike Trout after the game. Mike Trout put the first runs on the board with a 2-run bomb to center field, 454 feet in the bottom of the first, and the Angels put up 7 in the first inning and end up going on to win 13-0. So you heard him mention some of these numbers here. This was the first combined no-hitter in the state of California, which is a little arbitrary, but this is the first combined no-hitter in the state of California since the day Tyler Skaggs was born. on his birthday was the last time there was a combined no-hitter in the state of California. The 13s were all over the place. First of all, his mom threw out the first pitch and threw an absolute strike. But on the 13th, July 13th, the Angels won 13-0 and had 13 hits in the 13th ever combined no-hitter. Some stuff at work. The last time there was a combined no-hitter was Orioles A's in California in Oakland on July the 13th, 1991, the day Skaggs was born. I mean, it makes you shake your head, it gives you chills, and you wonder about the things that are at work well above us when something like that happens. And to top it off, the team's name is the Angels. Friday night was one of the most extraordinary sports stories of the year. It could be the sports story of the year. For all of that to take place and for them to do that. And I know that the Mariners are no good this year, but emotionally, think about what was happening in that ballpark, and then to go out and watch a no-hitter on that night, on a night where they put Tyler Skaggs' number on the pitcher's mound and ringed the pitcher's mound with his actual physical jerseys, and they go out and have one of their greatest pitching performances ever. And when you go out to a ballpark, there's 162 games a year for a team. You've got 81 in your hometown. If you have two teams in your town, you've got 162 chances to watch baseball usually. And if you see a no-hitter, if you've ever been to a no-hitter, you feel really fortunate, incredibly lucky. Wow, I got to see a no-hitter. The fans in that ballpark saw a no-hitter on a night that the entire team wore Tyler Skaggs' number. Wow. I was following that deep into the night on Friday night, and this happened at probably 1 a.m., wrapped up 1 a.m. Eastern time. And in the middle of the night over here in New York, I just got chills going, you got to be kidding me. They did that tonight. They're doing this tonight. This is happening tonight, right now. One of the best sports stories of 2019. The freaking Angels throwing a no-hitter on Tyler Skaggs' night with all of those numbers on Friday. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Higher forces at work. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Paul tweeted, DA, this was the best and most emotional team display since Nebraska took the field in punt formation with 10 players and took the delay of game after their punter died of the offseason. The epitome of what team sports is all about. RIP Tyler Skaggs. Jim tweeted, DA, sounds like the ending to a Disney movie. Incredible indeed. Yeah, Angels in the outfield. Boomer tweeted, they scored 7 runs in the first and 13 overall. His birthday is 7-13. The numbers were already all over the place. Jared tweeted, Hollywood could not even come up with a script like that. Absolutely incredible. Aaron tweets, DA, baseball, all you can really say. What a game. Sometimes sports just has this next level, supernatural, cosmic ability to make you wonder, and that's what happened on Friday. Whew. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So on that night, Adam Rank, who works for NFL Network, a friend of the DA show, we always talk football with him. He's a huge Angels fan, actually friends with Tyler Skaggs. He was at the ballpark on Friday. He's going to join us coming up here on the show in about 90 minutes. We'll have Rank after he was there in the ballpark on Friday and had been friends with Skaggs. He's going to join us and give us the details of what it was like to be inside that ballpark coming up here in about 90 minutes from now. But when we come back, you know, everybody thinks that Tony Romo is everybody's favorite guy around the NFL. guy that can have a beer with, doesn't take himself too seriously, yelping alongside Jim Nance every Sunday on CBS, calling out plays, yada, 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 just won an amateur golf tournament over the weekend. But I don't think everybody loves Tony Romo. And I've got a quote from Peyton Manning that I think says that pretty clearly. We'll do that coming up here next on the show. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS.
Open now for brunch.
You know, DA, as we all get older, you know, you look back at the young party days, those were like our wiener ships. And as you get older, maybe the getaways with your friends become a little calmer. That's what yesterday felt like. It felt like a maturity experience.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I highly encourage you to listen to the PGPs over the last couple of weeks, specifically Mraz's deep dive into the history of the wiener ship. Because if you listen to it, it is extraordinary. It is amazing how good Jacob Wilkins is in that role.
Wiener.
It is truly amazing. And I'm not saying this because it's a good bit on the show. His play-by-play of ridiculous events was at an elite level.
He faked us all out.
I mean, he has some lines in Wienership 3 that are still laugh-out-loud funny. He was talking about a Jerry DePoto, Mike Socia type of friction as me, Mraz, Ward, and Jolton Joe fought over how quickly we should be eating hot dogs against Badlands Booker. He just had some lines that are so fast, so good, that you just go, wow, there's nobody on earth that can do this better. I don't know if Jacob is there anymore. I don't know if he's there in his career because we heard him from the Vegas winter meetings, and we tried to get him to do something also somewhat funky and ridiculous, and he failed miserably. Now, thankfully, he's landed on his feet. He's the play-by-play voice of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, the AA affiliate of the New York Mets in Binghamton, upstate New York, which is great. But it sounds like he's calling it very close to the vest, very professional. I hope one day we get to peak Jacob like he was for Wienership 3, Wienership 4, Chicken Challenge 1, Chicken Challenge 2, because those are some of the greatest play-by-play moments in ridiculousness that have ever been recorded. I can honestly say that listening back yet again. If you want to check it out, go to our PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, available all places podcasts are available, and listen to the history of the wienership. Now, the great Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, boxing's only 8-time division world champion, returns to face the hard-hitting, undefeated Keith One-Time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Don't you get the feeling that everybody loves Tony Romo? I don't know why. Maybe I'm just reading all the media reviews of Romo's broadcasting, but you can't find anybody that's critical of Tony Romo's broadcasting. Nobody. Everybody seems to love it. Me and Mraz apparently are in the minority because we come in on Mondays and shrug our shoulders and say, I don't get the Tony Romo thing. Every week. Don't get it. Every media critic in America loves Tony Romo. Absolutely loves him. It seems like most fans do too. So who am I to say? Seems like most fans love that he's not button up, that he's not classic trained broadcaster, that he's willing to kind of scream and yelp and get excited and call out plays. I mean, everybody seems to love when he predicts plays. Okay, so people love him. I don't necessarily love him, but people love him. So you kind of get the sense that, well, everybody must love him. He does seem to be a very genuinely fun guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think he, you know, if you're at a bar and he's having a beer, I don't think that's a bad time. I think that's a fun time. And it doesn't seem like he has a lot of enemies. Doesn't seem like he's a bad guy. So, yeah. I could see, well, A lot of people must love him. But you kind of get the sense that everybody loves him, right? Overwhelming love for Tony Romo. This kind of fun-loving, happy-go-lucky, carefree type of guy. Well, there was a report in Yahoo Sports over the weekend that the reason Peyton Manning hasn't gone into the broadcast booth kind of following the Tony Romo career trajectory, retire, go to the booth, become a hero as a broadcaster, is that Peyton is hesitant of jumping into the Monday night booth after Jason Witten left, and obviously they need some type of reset, because he does not want to have to criticize Eli. Eli is going to be on Monday Night Football this year, and he does not want to have to go into the booth. And obviously when Eli throws his inevitable three interceptions and the Giants offense scores 6 points over the course of the game, and Eli looks like a decrepit old shell of himself, Peyton doesn't want to have to lie about it. Okay, one could understand that. And apparently also there's a little trepidation for Peyton getting into it right now because he's still so close to so many players that are still playing. He wants a little bit more distance from his team, from his teams, from his teammates, and his brother when he gets in the booth. One could understand that. That's honest. But Peyton Manning also had another quote in this story that I found absolutely incredible. And what he's trying to say is, I never had my sights on being a broadcaster, and I don't do anything half-assed. So what Peyton Manning's saying is, I'm not interested right now in being a broadcaster because my heart isn't completely in it and I need to be 100% in. But in saying this, in stating this, this is kind of undeniably a shot at Tony Romo. Peyton Manning said, quote, I saw where Tony Romo said that he always knew he wanted to be a broadcaster. Well, I always knew I wanted to be a football player. That's all I knew. I was all in on that job. I didn't think about anything else while I was playing. And I think that's a good way to be. I think you've got to be all in on what you're doing. I mean, Mraz, I'm not making things up. I'm not seeing things where they're not right. I mean, that is a shot at Romo pretty directly.
Yeah, that's saying, hey, I have two rings. Guess what? My focus was on football my whole career. I didn't dream to be sitting there calling out plays next to Jim Nantz.
Romo said he always knew he wanted to be a broadcaster. Well, I always knew I wanted to be a football player. That's all I knew. I was all in on that job. I didn't think about anything else while I was playing. And I think that's a good way to be. I think you've got to be all in on what you're doing.
Is that an art of...
I mean, that's a shot at Romo.
But is it a jealous shot at Romo that Romo now has all this fame? Or is it more, we all know as real winners at the quarterback position, you're not worthy in our club?
So I don't think Peyton Manning looks at Tony Romo and says, you're not worthy. I think he sees what you and I see, this kind of overwhelming love and adoration of Tony Romo that somehow he has redefined broadcasting and in many ways rehabilitated his career, because Romo, when he retired, was kind of seen as a loser, a guy that choked in big spots. He had two playoff wins ever.
By everyone except Cowboy fans who seem to think he's Aaron Rodgers.
I think some are pretty realistic.
All right, that's, I guess, an argument for a different day, but Cowboy fans... Tony Romo, nobody could be better. He's on any other team. He wins a million Super Bowls.
Yeah, some are uber defensive of him. But I think Peyton Manning was completely consumed with the art of quarterbacking, as we saw in his career. That there was never a waking minute that was not devoted to finding the next crease in the defense, the next tell from a defensive lineman, the next... some slim type of advantage he could take advantage of, because he studied so much film and he worked on everything in his craft to the highest ability. And sometimes that was paralyzing, I think, for him on the football field, because he didn't end up winning everything. But, I mean, he had perfected the craft of quarterbacking. And I think he probably looked at Tony Romo and saw Romo vacationing in Cabo before a playoff game with Jessica Simpson, and by and large, kind of like loving the celebrity of being a football player and being
playing
Romo.
Golf tournaments left and right.
And I think he kind of knew that, probably like most guys in the NFL, that Romo was really good. But, you know, when Romo starts getting these accolades of he's the smartest player we've ever played with, Romo was the ultimate leader, we love playing, I think they probably roll their eyes. Like, yeah, okay, Romo was fine, but he didn't devote himself to the life like Brady, like Breeze, like Manning. He just didn't have that type of commitment. And I think now that Romo has been put up on this pedestal, I think Peyton Manning and some of those guys roll their eyes. I don't think they dislike him, but there's got to be a rolling of the eyes. And then when Tony Romo says, I always wanted to be a broadcaster, for Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, who live, breathe, and eat every single day of the offseason, trying to win on 3rd and 8 from their own 38-yard line in Week 7 against the Titans. That's the only thing they're thinking about. When they see Romo getting all these accolades and then kind of a little revisionist history on his career because he's so beloved as a broadcaster, they've got to be annoyed by it. Like, oh, yeah, Romo, right, the great Romo.
Right, probably because it was known Romo spent his entire career looking at his next career while these guys spent their entire career looking at the next down.
Yeah, yeah. And now that Romo is in that next career and he's so beloved and they have been, despite, look, Brady doesn't get a lot of criticism, but Brady was suspended for deflating footballs. And Peyton Manning certainly has been crushed over the course of his career, not clutch enough, bad in big spots. You know, Drew Brees, only one Super Bowl. I mean, these guys have devoted every last ounce of their life to perfecting that craft and winning, and even they get blown up. And then Romo doesn't devote nearly that much attention, and suddenly he's a golden boy. They've got to be like, come on, man. Like, do you know how much more work I put into this than Romo, and now he's the golden child? I mean, come on. Like, he's a great guy. He's a nice guy. People like him, but he's a party boy. I mean, it's kind of rare for somebody. These are two retired guys. And Peyton Manning doesn't have to take a shot at anybody. I mean, his career stands upon itself. But I mean, Manning basically says there, yeah, I mean, the guy was a chump. I mean, you know, he's a good guy, but he wasn't all in on football. And I was all in on football, and that was the way I think you have to be.
And by the way, ironically, Peyton, still more visible than Romo, thanks to all the commercials.
I don't think, though, that Peyton will be as good at Romo at broadcasting.
I think he could be better because I think he's funnier than Romo.
I think he's funnier than Romo, but is he going to be too... The thing that people love about Romo is that he's kind of like unabashedly a fan still. Peyton can't do that. Don't you think Peyton will come off maybe a little too studious, maybe a little too bland?
See, I don't think so. I think we've seen enough with the Saturday Night Live and the commercials that Peyton Manning could be the X's and O's while injecting funny. Like, I think Peyton Manning would be the ultimate like morning radio guy.
Really?
I really do
like
think
a boomer.
That. I think he could be a boomer. I absolutely do. I think we have seen enough personality from Peyton the last 10 years that I think he's so smart at the football aspect of it mixed with his personality that I think you combine those things. I think he takes Tony Romo to another level where I think we would love Peyton Manning calling football games.
I'll tell you this. He would, every time that Romo gets accolades for predicting a play, Peyton Manning predicts that same exact play.
He could call out 10 plays ahead.
I mean, seriously.
You like, wait, they're going to get here, you know, down when they get to the 20 right. And watch what happens.
Right. Romo calls, oh, look for the X receiver on the slant. And it's like, oh, my God, Romo saw that. Peyton Manning would have everybody's job on the screen already predicted before the play.
And look, I don't really mean to pile on Tony Romo because I'm not a big Cowboy fan here, but if we got to the AFC title game with Peyton Manning on the call with Jim Nantz, I'd respect Peyton Manning questioning a quarterback's decision-making in a big game than I would Tony Romo.
That's fair. Over the weekend was the block party, the Meraz block party, and your phone number this morning is 855-212-4227 if you want to jump in here on the Peyton Manning-Tony Romo discussion, 855-212-4CBS. Block party was amazing. We'll do a deep dive in the PGP this week, a deep dive into my day, my weekend. Like most block parties, things got a little sideways, and I didn't see my wife for like 3 days, and it just became a whole thing. I didn't go home after the block party. I don't know how it happened. How could it happen? I feel like the old guy looking around at the Gronk play.
You know they say don't talk to strangers? DA went home with two.
How could it happen?
I ended up sleeping at a neighbor's house.
How did that happen?
It got too late. The train was too long back. things got sideways. Mike, who tweets into the show as Upside Down Mike, ended up crashing in him and his girlfriend's guest room. They were very nice hosts.
Showering, sharing a little oatmeal in the morning.
Very nice hosts. But the big takeaway from this day was that the only two members of CBS Sports Radio that attended were myself and Hugh Freeze.
A Carver High from Ferrell.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, that's true. Carver High, producer of the Scott Ferrell Show. So we were the three. I don't know where Bogish was. I don't know where Bilotti was. I don't know where Jay Berman was. I don't know where Kenny Brock was. I don't know where Peter Schwartz was. I don't know where anybody was.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
We were holding up our end of the bargain. So me and Huge Freezer there, and we're having a beer and just shooting the breeze. And Nancy Mraz's mom, calls me over and says, "Hey, I got something to say to you." This is the first time I had talked to her all day. I had just gotten there. "Hey, I have something to say to you, D.A. Mama Mraz is in my grill, in my face. I had not been there more than 15 minutes. She said, "I have something to tell you. I've got something I want to say." Okay, all right. Here is what Nancy Mraz said.
I'm here live at the block party, and Mrs. Mraz, Mama Mraz, Nancy is here to declare something for the show.
I declare that the ban on Robbie Rosenhaus being on the DA show is officially lifted. Come Monday, he will be on the show.
Wow, now this is an enormous news break right here. What's the reason for your ruling?
Because I really like Robbie Rosenhaus. I think he's a very nice guy, and I rule.
There you have it, everybody. It's official. Robbie's back.
Whoa. Mama Mraz makes the ruling at the block party. Robbie's back on Monday. Today, reinstituted. Hey, I can't do anything about that.
Yeah, we can, because she doesn't know. She knows him eating a hot dog for 2 minutes. She doesn't know the whole history. And by the way, that sounded like a great batting practice interview with the sounds behind it. Great quality.
That was Nat Sound of the block party. Bob's Bar bell ringing. People playing pickup hoops in the yard. Look, I can't overrule Mama Mraz. It has been spoken. Apparently, Robbie Rosenhaus is back on the show. It has been spoken.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.